You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, hey, here we are at the end of November, and tax planning starts coming into place. But what you should be planning for is asset protection. You know, as a recovering lawyer myself, I can tell you there are thousands of people out there predatory. They are just looking to get some of your wealth. That's what they're about. And person you're about to hear from will explain to you how you hold on to it. He's an attorney, Clint Coons. Clint, it's great to have you on the show. So asset protection, how important is it now compared to what things used to be?
You know, I mean, let's just face it. There's too many damn attorneys out there, and they keep churning out more and more every year. And those attorneys, they got to make money. They have to pay off those, you know, $300,000 in student loan debt. So how are they going to do that? Well, they got to make a name for themselves in their firm, which is by bringing in cases, generating revenue. And a way to do that, of course, is picking up clients and bringing cases that ordinarily you probably wouldn't take if you had a thriving practice. And so, you know, with my firm, I have close to 500 employees. I, you know, operate in multiple states. And so being on the other side of this, we have clients, we have a lot of clients that have experienced the shakedown lawsuits. You know, the attorneys that are going after them because they know they have something to lose. And if they know you have something to lose, then there's ways to apply pressure to people because of that fear of loss. And it can be very effective. And so my job and our firm's job in working with investors is to show them, you know, here's how you want to position your assets. So if you do get sued, you're not going to lose everything. Better yet, the way I like to structure it is that you appear to be a homeless individual because when they look you up, you don't have anything worth going after.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that?
Right. There's the key right there. Well, the first thing I tell people is, listen, you know, if someone's going to come after you, and I know this, I mean, I worked on the personal injury side. When I was in law school, I used to print money, writing demand letters for a PI firm that advertised on late night TV. And we would shake people down left and right. And one of the things that they were typically focused on are the high value targets. And those are the individuals that appeared to have assets. And so what I took from that experience was that, A, you can make a hell of a lot of money doing that type of work, but B, it was that if you're an individual, you want to put yourself in a position so if somebody runs an asset search on you, mm-hmm. they're not going to discover a bunch of property in your name. Or if you are involved in a lawsuit and they obtain a judgment against you, you put your assets in a way in which they're not going to be able to take that that judgment and secure it against your savings account or your brokerage account. So your question was, how do you do that? Well, you want to set up structures, trusts, limited liability companies. They work exceptionally well for this in a way in which your name is not attached to the structure you're creating. So I use Wyoming a lot or Delaware because those two states do not collect information on the LLCs. So we'll set those up as a what we call a holding company to hold various other LLCs that may hold real estate. Or we'll set up a Wyoming LLC or Delaware LLC to hold a savings account or brokerage account because of the charging order protections they provide. So that's where you start, is understanding what a creditor can see and then taking steps to remove your information from that public database.
Okay. So hiding your assets in plain sight effectively.
It is.
And but you have to do this before you get into trouble, not after, right?
Correct. So here's something that's interesting. So, you know, I've been doing this now for 22 years. And I have a lot of clients that have used me over the years to be a trustee on a property style trust. So we create a trust that's set up where our client is the beneficiary, and then you have to have a trustee. And the trust doesn't offer asset protection. It's just a title holding vehicle. Most people are familiar with trusts or familiar with the living trust. And so, you know, if you had a living trust and estate planning trust, and you're the trustee of your trust, and you're going to transfer your house into your trust, it would go from Carrie to Carrie as trustee of the, whatever name you want to call it, family trust. Well, the way we set the trusts up for the client to remove their information from title so people don't realize that they're the owner of this property is we use a nominee trustee. So many times, I mean, I don't know how many, probably at least 7,000 to 10,000 trusts I've been a trustee on, where I serve as the initial trustee so that our clients will deed the property from their name to Clint Coons, trustee of the 765 trust. And so on title, the property shows up that way. In reality, it's the clients, it's their trust, they're the beneficiaries. I've resigned my position. But when people are running asset searches, I mean, I can show you my phones. I get text messages all the time. People skip trace my name, emails, phone calls. Hey, are you interested in selling this property? I don't even know where these properties are. But they were set up in such a way to keep my client's ownership private because they don't want the solicitations. They don't want someone to drop a get a judgment against them and then record that judgment against any property that shows up in their name. And that trust we have found is extremely effective in preventing creditors from figuring out what you have and also from securing judgments on your assets.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. You could also live in Florida where they can't get your house, right?
Correct. So in Florida, that's a great one. So in Florida, what we tell people, you have an unlimited homestead exemption. I would still recommend they use a land trust in Florida for their personal residence because you can preserve your homestead exemption on the transfer into the trust as long as you're residing in the property and you're the beneficiary of the trust. Because what happens with a property is that when you convert it from real property, right, into personal property, which would be a sale, you no longer have a homestead. And so there's been instances where people have tied up all the cash in their house. I mean, take OJ, classic example of this. Yeah. He gets sued, right? He moves from Brentwood down to Florida. Now, he bought this house in Florida, and he still owns the same property because the Goldmans and Browns have a judgment against him. If he converts that property from real to personal by selling it, they'll come in and take it. And so he's kind of stuck in that house that he originally purchased. It'd be really difficult for him to sell it. And at this point in time, because the judgment's already attached. So for people who live in Florida, they'll oftentimes, I'll tell them, listen, you can do it as long as you want to stay there. But if you ever think you want to move and convert it, then you may still want to put it in inside of a trust.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So are there instances where they've been able to set aside trusts, where they've been able to defeat them?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp. is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Oh, absolutely. The trust, like I said, that doesn't offer asset protection. It's a smokescreen. So if they want to come after you and they obtain a judgment against you, they're going to blow that trust. And so when we look at asset protection planning, I tell people you can use trust many times to provide anonymity, especially for your personal residence. And it's just a smokescreen. If they push that judgment, they're going to go right through it. Most attorneys, as you know, they're lazy. They get the judgment against someone. They're going to take the judgment, record it in an abstracted judgment in the county. It's going to attach to any assets that's in your name. If that property is not in your name, it's in the name of a trust. Well, it's not going to hit that property. So what that frees you up to be able to do in the future is sell your property, refi your property, and the creditor doesn't get paid. So from a personal residence standpoint, I think, you know, trust planning makes a lot of sense for privacy and just that initial protection. But if they go against you and they're going to take that judgment and actually go after and, you know, look for a sheriff sale on your assets, Yeah. When you're brought into what we call a debtor's exam, as you know, supplemental proceedings, they're going to figure that out. And so it's only effective to a point.
But there are such things called asset protection trusts, right?
Yeah. See, there are asset protection trusts. And the case escapes me. There's one of the most notable asset protection trusts is it actually came from the state of Washington, where an individual, that's where this office is located, set up an asset protection trust in Alaska APT, and he ended up filing bankruptcy. He resided in Washington. The asset resided in Washington. Well, anyways, my good friend of mine, an attorney, he's a bankruptcy trustee here in the Western District, and he presided over that case, and he was able to pierce the asset protection trust. And he's been noted in many publications. He goes out and he speaks on how he went about breaking the trust. And it's symbiotic of really how, when you look at trust and how they're going to operate in a jurisdiction that doesn't recognize that trust, it's probably not going to provide the protection you want, regardless of what people tell you it's going to do. So if I have a client approach me and they say, listen, I read about the asset protection trust. I want to create one of these APTs to put my property in, and I live in California. What do I do? Well, then I would structure it where the property is in a limited liability company in California, because that's recognized by California. Then take your beneficial interest, pop that into the trust, and then make sure you've got a trustee, say it was in Nevada, controlling it, give up the control, understand that that's what the requirement is. But most of the time, people don't want to give up the control. And that's why a lot of the strategies we work on with our clients is that they're always going to be in control. Very few of them are comfortable doing that. And I get it. I understand that.
Yeah, you got to trust somebody. And in this day and age, that's not easy to do, for sure. Well, yeah. You know, I used to go, when I practiced, I'd be pursuing wealthy debtors. Mm-hmm. And a couple times I came up against trusts, and then they went bankrupt. And then the case was like out of my hands, you know, where they had set up childhood trusts, children's trusts, things like that. But, you know, it's definitely a complex area. It's not something you can do for yourself. But the key to all of it is, as long as you've done all this before the cause of action arose, basically whatever happened afterwards with the trust, as long as it's not a sham, it's basically going to hold up.
Correct. And if you're looking for protection, let's say, you know, I've seen some of your episodes, you talk about crypto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and other types of investments on the securities or equities. What you're going to use in that instance is I wouldn't rely upon a trust. I would set up a limited liability company to protect those assets. So if you got sued personally, then you would fall back on state law charging order protections, which prevents a creditor from reaching in and attaching that judgment to your LLC's assets, which would be your crypto or your securities that you hold inside of there. So you know, you open
all
up
that account. Varies from state to state, the protections
exactly.
You have. Sometimes, sometimes a one member LLC is adequate, like in places like Wyoming,
mm-hmm.
and in other places like Florida, not so much.
You, as someone, like you say, you used to be the attorney, you still stay up on the practice. I can tell. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you got to know where you're setting it up.
Well, I'm a firm believer in trust also in terms of Medicare, mm-hmm. In terms of you need long-term care so they don't take all your assets. Also, estate planning. And there's a lot of very complex strategies out there to utilize trust to minimize taxes and to minimize estate taxes, you know, death taxes. So. Interesting. Hey, so Clint, people want to find out more about you, connect with you, learn how you can help them secure, protect their assets from this whole world of predatory litigants and predatory creditors. Where do we find you?
Well, what I would say is if they want to, I have a workshop that I teach. I think find me at AndersonBusinessAdvisors.com, or they can go to our workshop. I teach it every other weekend on this topic of using trusts and LLCs to protect your assets. And it's really geared or driven more towards business owners, real estate investors, people who have brokerage assets. It would be aba.link/F SN. They go there. You can. It's a free event. It's one day event where we're going to cover the tax side and the asset protection side, because I found that, you know, you just can't look at one without looking at the other. And a lot of people make mistakes in their planning is that they put too much emphasis on either asset protection or the tax side. And then they really lose the greater benefit of using these entities is that I call the business planning side, and that they can help you do more, but you really have to understand that and where that, how these things interrelate, so you can continue to grow.
All right. I like it. I appreciate you coming on. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again. If you got a question for Clint, myself, asset protection, or anything else, shoot us an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Make sure you go over to the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for your free newsletter. Clint, a pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.